cliffcentral.com.
Yeah, man, welcome to it. The name is Just Another Cool Kid, and you can call me Jack for short. But this is 20-something, and I am joined by my two cohorts, my crazy couple.
Hi, I'm trying to do a masquerade.
We're in the Looneyville. Yeah.
We are in the Looneyville. How are you guys doing?
I'm good.
How? I'm good. Yeah, you had flu this week.
Yeah.
Mm. That sucks.
It's fine.
Yeah, but you
just
need
to finish the course, and then I'm good.
All right. Well, yeah. your voice sounds okay. It's not like you know.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
But I had to work my magic.
You had to
and make sure I'm ready for. There was no way I was gonna come here all sick and.
Yeah, that would have been terrible.
Yeah.
That really would have been terrible.
I know that being balls deep in something is considered to be a bad sort of mantra.
Okay.
But I'm balls deep, man. I'm balls deep.
In what? Is the question.
Just balls deep in jail.
Balls deep.
Yeah, I.
You in it.
I'm in there.
You are so in there.
So like, go look balls deep. That's where I'm at. Like, I'm good, man.
Your douche balls are in deep. In too deep.
What's happening?
Oh, okay. Man. I'm chilled. How are you doing?
I am absolutely, I'm insane. I'm crazy. I'm so cool, man.
We've been knowing that you're crazy.
Damn good week. I finished the book that I said I was going to start in September.
Okay.
And finish in September. But I started as the month ended and I finished it the other day. So I'm happy about that.
Which book was this?
I was Stay Close by Harlan Coben.
Okay.
Damn good book.
Is it?
What's it about?
It's about these three characters that have to... figure out their pasts to sort of make way for their future.
Okay.
Yeah, they've got hauntings and they need to go sort of lay them to rest.
Okay.
It was a damn good read, so is that.
Sounds like a good read.
I'm learning isiXhosa.
We are teta ngoku.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tano ufundisiXhosa why ungabuzi mina whatever that you need to know about iXhosa, why ungandibuzi?
I don't think you ever wanted. I'm only finding out now that you want to teach me.
You never are.
Let me see how good you would be actually.
Okay.
You must translate, ne?
Okay.
Isimo somnotho sibucayi.
Oh.
I just went both deep.
No, it's actually Zulu.
Yes. That's not Xhosa.
It's Zulu.
I was just about to say, right, that's Zulu, man.
Aye, man.
It is Zulu.
It is.
You're still not translating. Means, I don't hear you translating.
It means
though.
Shit's bad. Like
who's the teacher? What's going on?
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Motherfucker, can you behave?
Here's what I'm saying. Like, if you had actually asked her something to translate in Xhosa,
yes,
then I would have let it go. But that was Zulu.
Yeah.
State capture.
In Xhosa.
That's all.
We are capturing.
There's a phrase that always gets me in Xhosa.
Yeah.
When a woman says ungangijwayeli kabi, like don't mess with me, the type of thing. So, and say this one doesn't want to know what I'm made of. Uzonibona ubhinqa ntoni.
Yeah.
Sunkhela wena uzonibona ubhinqa ngantoni.
That sounds like
that
a
sounds
serious
vicious.
Threat.
Like, you know, I feel like I'm bleeding already just from hearing that. Something just cut me, those words.
She said it twice, and I was like, okay, we've heard enough. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right, since you did bring it up, state capture, right?
Yeah.
Do we need to? Do we have to?
Why not?
I personally feel like we shouldn't, okay?
Yes.
For one reason and one reason only, this is not something that any of us have authority in. Like, we haven't studied up on such things as state capture and whatnot. And us lending our opinion to this would be, I don't know. Like, we might just expose our stupidity in commenting on this issue. So, I'll say this much. Thulima Donsela is still a rock star in my book.
I think,
you know, she left the office, but the report still came out. And a lot of people have it on their phones. I do as well. So I think we should leave it at that.
I got it from my mother. All I'll say on that is that it's a great piece of documentation to have. You live in a liberated country. And the fact that you have access to these documents, to this information that is put out. This is state secrets or it's state information.
Yeah.
It's need to know knowledge.
Yeah.
And the fact that we readily have it on our phones is absolutely fantastic. So
it's a great time to be alive. It's a great time to be alive. Okay, so let's go through the checklist. This past weekend, a lot of things were happening. This past weekend.
Where's your girlfriend?
Mike, I left my girlfriend at the Sexpo.
She was too much for you, man.
She was, man. Yeah. Like, she was ever ready.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm. Like, she's always open for service.
Did you leave her with something? A memory, though?
Yeah, we had great memories. Yeah. Took a picture, you know. That tit was so nice.
I'm talking about... It. Okay. Did you suck on it?
No, I didn't suck on it. Yeah. By the way, for obviously everyone doesn't understand what we're talking about. Oh, I found a blow up doll at the Sexpo. She's so sexy, by the way. She was really sexy. It's just unfortunate that she couldn't, you know, level with me on a mental level.
But does she come in chocolate?
I wanted
to ask, does it come in flavors?
I wonder. I do wonder. There was this other contraption thing. Like, well, it's not a contraption. It's an ass. Like, it's a female ass.
Yeah.
With a vagina and everything.
Ooh.
And it costs 3,000 rand, right?
Yeah.
But, like, when you touch it, you understand why it costs 3,000 rand. I've felt a
does
couple
it have
of
that
asses.
Much of an effect?
Yeah, look, I've felt a lot of asses in my life. Like, I've been privy
You've
to...
You've been around.
Yeah, you know, the blog. Hey, what can
okay.
I say?
But
he's been around so much, he's the grass on the field. He's no longer playing the field, he's the grass on the field.
Yeah, man. Shit, I'm the whole stadium.
Okay. That's a bit too much.
So
look at you and look at you, yes?
You know, I mean, the way it felt... It was unreal. Like, I didn't
look
I
at your
like,
face right now.
Seriously, I was thinking to myself, wow, technology is something else. Like, they actually designed an ass, like a proper ass with a vagina, like the whole thing. But it kind of defeats the purpose in a sense that it's not cool having sex with an object. Like, I wouldn't have purchased it. It was nice to touch,
okay,
but I wouldn't have purchased it.
I was about to say, I would hate to spend 3,000 rand and have it not put out.
You know what I mean?
You better be putting something out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it will put out all the time. It's just that you'd be playing by yourself.
Moving right along.
But what I've heard about the maintenance of this machinery, this equipment, the, you know, these self-sex sort of dolls.
Yeah.
Is the maintenance that comes with it. Because obviously you have to clean your shit out.
Yeah, you have to. But I mean, just because she's plastic does not mean you don't have to use protection.
Ah,
wow. You know what I mean? Seriously.
Yeah. There's that level of decency. I didn't think that.
Because, I mean, on some level, one of your friends is going to see it. He's like, hey, man, can I don't know, for the weekend.
What?
It could happen. It
Would
could
you?
Happen.
Would I share it?
Yeah.
Knowing that Jack has put his meat inside
of
it.
Yeah. Would you also put your meat inside of it?
Come on.
For curiosity, I suppose.
Of
it needs
course.
To be done.
Of course you
no,
would.
No, he would.
For curiosity.
You didn't not have to justify. You didn't have to give me a justification before you actually answer, hey?
I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. Why would I lie to you?
It's ridiculous. We saw a couple of very interesting things at this expo. I learned a lot of things as well. David was so right. It's not just about people having sex all the time. Yeah. I will admit, I walked in with a couple of expectations. Like, I thought there'd be naked people hanging from the ceiling and stuff. And, you know, there'd be strip shows everywhere. Up until I took part in a strip show myself.
Okay.
Hey.
Yes.
Okay.
I let my adventurous side take over a little bit. So there was an amateur strip show contest for, you know, the amateurs, people that can't, you know, that aren't professionals. People in the
and
crowd.
You're like, yes, me.
Did someone actually take a video? While
no, they
you were
didn't.
Doing that?
No, they didn't. I'm sad and happy at the same time that no one took a video or took any pictures of it because,
why?
Like, you had to be there to witness it, type thing.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And since people didn't come through, I feel like if you were there,
hey,
you
people
got a
didn't
glimpse.
Come through. That shade, didn't she? It was really unnecessary, you know.
Hey, man.
It was low key.
I was just talking. If you felt personally about it, it's not my fault, really. It is.
I was actually looking forward to it, but
and you didn't make it.
I couldn't.
Oh man,
personal stuff got in the way. Things I really could not shift, and I lost out just like that.
That really sucks.
But it's all good
because there was. basically for the competition, there was male amateur strippers and there were female amateur strippers. The females jumped on first and they basically set the tone for the whole thing, right? Like, so the rest of us, while we were watching this, I was backstage at this point in time.
Yeah.
They had this little screen that we could watch, so we could watch what was happening on stage. And in my mind, I thought, okay, these girls are going to dance a bit sexy, take off a t-shirt, maybe a pants, you know.
Yeah.
I was so wrong. They went the full
all
Monty.
All the way.
All the way. And not just one. Like, we're talking about, if there were 12 girls on stage, we're talking about 8 of them.
Oh, my word.
That went completely nude. Like, completely
It must
nude.
Have been nice.
That was fantastic. That
it
was
must
great.
Have been, hey?
Watching that was awesome. Because some of them had some, like, wow. I mean, some of them were really sexy. Like, they were... They were really good-looking people on stage. And then it was the male's turn to get on stage, right?
Yeah.
And in my mind, I was like, okay, there's no way a bunch of guys are going to get completely naked on stage with a bunch of guys around them.
You were wrong.
I was the most wrong person ever. I've never been that wrong in my life.
Wow.
These guys went kalhat. Like, you know what I mean by naked? Yes. Birthday suits. Man. And I'm okay, personally, I was not going to bare my penis for a bunch of people I've never seen or I'll ever see in my life. Like, there was at least...
But don't you think that would have been fun, knowing that you've never seen these people? You're never going to see them again.
No,
so why not?
They gave me a thong, actually. I had a thong.
I hope you kept it.
No, I didn't. I threw it in the bag. I had a white thong and it was like... the front of it was shaped like an elephant so that my penis would look like the trunk.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I got on stage. I jumped out in front of everyone, started doing my thing, took off my t-shirt, all of this stuff. It was cool. Made it to the finals. And that's when the guys were like, okay, fuck this. We're going butt naked.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I'm not doing that. I'm sorry. I refuse.
So you lost out just like that?
Yeah. I mean, they were going to give me a giraffe. Like, the person that won some... giraffe or something like that, like some sexual giraffe, and I'm like, I'm short enough as it is. What the fuck would I be doing with a giraffe, you know?
Wow.
But all in all,
you must have had fun, man.
All in all, I had a really, really good time. The Sexpo was really dope. For those of you that missed it, I don't know. I guess it's gone.
Next day is too far. But hey,
definitely going next year. I'm actually gonna make it an annual trip. Considering that Saturday was my very first time, I'm gonna go all the time now. Like, there's so many things to check out and to learn, and, and you know, there were things that I found out about the male anatomy that I didn't know about, you know, and I'm not gonna share them with any of y'all. I'm keeping it to myself. Thank you.
Is that person unleashed?
Yeah, that inner beast. Mm-hmm. That inner monster.
I want to be dicking it too, though. How can you unleash my information?
Amen.
You are being so stingy with this information.
Look,
I'm glad you are not in public office. We would never get anything.
Yeah, no.
Like, at all.
I am a people of the person. Yeah, the people of the people, rather.
People's person.
I'm a person of the people, not a people of a person. But if I had public office, man, it would be so transparent. We wouldn't have doors. Okay. But as far as what happens in my bedroom, I'm not going to share that with anybody.
It's supposed to stay anybody. That way anyway.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We're leading into Summer 16. You know what you're not going to find in Summer 16? You might find some of these all-white parties. You might find some of these bashes still. But what you won't find is a B.O.B. for blacks.
Right.
Because these blacks don't like to bring anything. So over the past weekend, doing our thing there, doing our cleansing at home. And I keep on getting asked, where's the alcohol? And I was like, I plan to be rude to say, it's at the bottle store. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
It's because it's not here. Mm. People come to your house and you've provided pretty much, everything. You can piss where you like, not where you like, in the toilet, preferably.
A very clean one.
And you can eat what you want, as much as you want. And then you still have the audacity to ask me,
Where the booze at?
Bring the fucking booze yourself, man.
Yeah, I mean, you wanted a drink.
And
another thing, those type of functions, or
yes.
Do you really need alcohol
you
for
don't.
Such?
That's not what we came here for.
It's a cleansing ceremony. Yeah. So what do you need alcohol for?
It's because I happen to be drinking, and then you decide that because I'm drinking. Neo was drinking.
Neo was drinking because he wants to drink, because he brought his own alcohol. Then why are you making a fuss about it?
No, the fact is we cannot. I don't want to say black people, but I'm going to say black people. Like, we don't do these sober things like it's a lunch. And everyone. I mean, my little sister's lunch was on Sunday.
Mm.
We ate food. Everything was fine. Okay?
Yes.
For about 45 minutes.
I thought you were going to say 2 hours.
No. Everything was fine for about 45 minutes because that was the time it took people to go from their table, get a plate of, you know how we do buffet style.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Chuck the food there. After 45 minutes, everyone was full. They were like, okay, where's the music?
That's how it starts.
Yeah. Sorry, where's the booze?
Where's the booze? Time some of them came with chemchairs. They chemchairs in their boots and stuff. Like,
it's weird.
Step
it's like,
101, where's the music?
Where's it? No,
that's
yeah.
fucked up. Where,
yeah. Sorry, check. Connect to the speaker and play some music. And then bring me a bottle of Jack Daniels while you're at it. You know what I mean? It's just the way we are. I'll tell you this much. Growing up in Soweto, there's one thing that is more common than the people of Soweto. It's places where we can drink alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? In every street or in every neighborhood, there's maybe two or three places where you can go. And typically, there's an old lady there, Maspoto. And she's
Madibir.
The one. Yes. She's the one that sells the alcohol and whatnot. And almost every kid in the neighborhood wants to be friends with the kid that lives in that house.
That house.
You know, for easy access. I used to help out a couple of my friends with stock taking.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Wow.
We would fudge the numbers a little bit. I mean, you know, if you don't have to work for it.
Yeah.
Then
why the hell not?
Straight up.
Why the hell not? We are going to be talking to someone who has worked for a lot of things in his lifetime.
Still working.
I'm still working.
You should see him twerk, actually.
Yeah,
I wonder if he still does that.
We'll get that video. We'll get that.
No, I mean, we are here inspired by the words of Rihanna. Work. That's what we're here to do. So we are joined by Raymond. I'm gonna call you Mondi for now. Because that's your handle for everything. Twitter, Instagram, whatever. Anyway, how you doing, my brother?
I'm very well, yourself.
fantastic.
Oh, you guys killed me, though. You're wow.
We
don't call this place Looneyville for nothing.
Yeah, no, I understand.
This is where we come to let our minds go insane. You know what I mean?
That's a good thing.
It's a great thing. How you doing?
I'm very well, yourself.
I'm fantastic, man. You had a couple of issues with your transportation.
Yeah, hey, wow. The driver was actually complaining on my way here.
Yeah.
He was busy telling us a story. You know this guy, he must learn how to work with people. I'm going to kill him one day. I'm just going to pop out a gun. I'm just like, okay, cool.
Shit.
Okay, I understand, driver. It's aight, but I made it on time.
You are said to be a witness one day. Right?
Yeah, no.
Already is.
How train shooting.
No, man.
That's the headline, people.
No.
Right? You know how you can tell someone is ascending to cool or aspiring to cool or becoming cool?
Okay.
They start wearing these shirts with these.
I was actually looking at.
I'm
the
looking
t-shirt
for a
myself.
Word, but I can't. It's not there yet.
Like your t-shirt doesn't. It just says 11 on it, right?
Yeah.
And why? I mean, why 11? Why
inconspicuous words?
Yeah, it's odd, right?
Yeah, it is very odd. Well, you know what? It's a young brand that approached me. They're like, hey, Raymond, we think you're cool. Would you like to wear us? I was like, okay, cool. I didn't really ask all the necessary questions, so I just wore this today, this morning, because they gave it to me yesterday.
Oh, okay.
So I don't really know what it means. I don't know what it stands for.
You really are becoming that cool.
Yeah.
You really are. You really are.
No, hey, I'm not.
I actually want to... Let's rewind a little bit, right?
Okay.
20 FM is where...
It all kind of began.
That's where the world sort of got introduced to Mondi.
Yeah.
How did it happen?
Well, you know, because the radio station is based on my campus.
Yeah.
I kind of saw a flyer that said, hey, would you like to become a radio DJ? And I'm like, what? Yeah. I mean, I've been dreaming of this ever since I was a child. I've been listening to like Tobela FM there because I'm PD. I'm like, yeah, Tobela Lika and Arocha. Such type of things. And when I saw the flyer, I said to myself, okay, cool. Let me go try this out. And I went and I auditioned. The first time I went, they were like, yeah, you're great, but you need to work on something else. I was like, what? But I thought like I had the skills. Then I went again because they gave me a call back. And when I went for the call back, they told me that, hey, you got the spot. And ever since then, it came.
Do you know what's cool? I got called back twice.
You're kidding.
Yeah. I mean, I got there the first time. And what was that? I was talking about the top five greatest MCs of all time, right? That was my topic, right? Yeah. And then the second time I went to audition, I spoke about astral projection.
Wow.
And
wow.
So the first time they were like,
what does that even mean?
What does it mean?
No, it's like, it's basically the Matrix.
Okay.
For like, it's you meditate and deeply
go
into yourself so much so that you can actually step outside of your bodies.
Like, imagine people on radio have to hear that. Like, yeah. That is heavy.
So they were like, dude, okay, I don't know. You sound a bit too smart for listening. I think you need to come back. And I'm like, wow.
Wow.
How that's a great way to belittle your listeners. But anyway. So you finally made it in.
Yeah, I did.
And you were there for how long?
2 years.
2 years.
Yeah, 2 years. That has been the most amazing 2 years of my life, actually.
Homes are not the same. It doesn't sound good in English, but homes are not the same.
That is true.
Malapa alekani. That
is true.
Yeah, for sure.
For some, it would take longer.
It would.
For some, it never goes anywhere. So
true, and they stay stagnant for quite a while.
Yeah, that just speaks to your energy and your ambition.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you know what? Let's disclose this right out the gate. Myself, Neo, and Raymond started off at the same radio station. Okay?
Yeah.
Yes.
That way.
I don't have a show on SABC3.
I don't have a show at SABC3 either.
What the fuck is this?
Guys, no ways. Stop it.
Okay. So speaking about SABC3, talent on track, man.
Yeah. Oof.
How did that happen?
Yo, magic, man. I always say sometimes things happen because I just happen to be at the right place at the right time. It's weird.
For sure.
You know, a friend of mine sent me an audition, you know, request kind of type of thing. And then I got a screen grab of the audition. And then I was like, okay, cool. Because he knows I'm into presenting and stuff like that. I do a lot of MC gigs, you know, 20 FM. And he was like, hey, you should try this out. I went. I was the only kid there without an agency.
Okay.
You know, and I thought to myself, chill, Raymond. It's all right, you got this. You know, all these kids came in and they were pouring in because they knew each other from the same agency. Like, yeah, yo, what up, man?
Yeah. You got to hate that, man.
You know, and I'm there like in the corner like, yo, the kid without an agency in the corner. Then I auditioned. And funny enough, when I auditioned, you know, crazy old me, I got in there and I started singing.
Okay.
Literally, I went there and I said, Sidligotin. Yeah. And until this day, the talented track team says, yo, that's the song that made your career, man. Yeah. You should meet Rick and say, yo, Ricky, yo, man, that song.
Word.
Because apparently when they heard that and I sang, and they were like, yo, man, we actually dig this kid, because he just got it there and he just started singing. So Sidligotin, everybody welcome to Talent on Track. You know, and I just took it from there. And 3 days after the audition, I got a call back and I went. It was myself and this other guy. And then they, you know, but they kind of, told me that, hey, but you still had a good chance. But they didn't want to give it away to me, kind of, you know. And then I had to go another weekend, like 3 days again. And I couldn't see for those 3 days. And then Monday they called me. They're like, hey, yo, dude, you got the job.
You got the gig.
Wow. I'm like, wow. Because when they called me for a callback, they wanted to see my interview skills. They wanted to see how I would be able to interview people. So they brought in a band and I interviewed them. And it kind of went from there. And they were like, hey, this kid
is cool.
He's
cool. He's good.
He's got the things.
It's strange how things work out, right? Like, you were the one guy without an agency and you ended up being the guy that actually hosts the show. That's crazy.
What a way of transforming the pressure.
Yeah.
It's all about perspective, I suppose.
For sure.
You could have sat there and buckled under the pressure and be like, oh gosh, I'm alone. Where's my mother?
I'm a nobody.
But to take it and make it what it's going to become, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Do you owe that sort of being able to change perspective and put yourself in a different zone to your previous mini TV experience, working with Wi-Fi TV?
Yeah, I could say that. I actually think, it's weird, hey. I feel like the universe or God was preparing me for this moment. Yeah. It's weird because I feel like Wi-Fi TV happened a few months back and it was a great experience. And, you know, it happened for like 3 months and it didn't last long. But I feel like I learned a lot from that and it prepared me for this opportunity. Because now when I get on set, I'm just there. I already know my lines. You know, I'm ready. I'm prepared. I'm so active. And people are like, wow, you make my life easier. The director's like, yeah, you make my life easier. And I'm like, that's what I'm here to do. You know, so yeah, it kind of did. It helped me. It really had a huge aspect in my life. It's weird.
Those are the people that make the magic. The behind the scenes people,
right?
The camera guys and the production team.
They don't get enough shine.
They don't. But as a presenter, if you don't get on with those people, if you're not on the same sort of energy with
them.
That's
my belief.
Yeah.
I believe that, you know, if you don't have that energy on set, you know, and you don't create that whole ambiance with everybody behind the camera, then, you know, on camera will look whack.
Yeah.
Because it does, because it affects me. If let's say we're fighting, at, you know, behind the camera and all of a sudden I have to go there. Ladies and gentlemen, smile. It just it looks off. It really does. It affects an entertainer in a sense.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm all about that positive energy in life.
Was this always your plan? I mean, you mentioned earlier on that, you know, you listen to Tobela FM. was this how you kind of saw your life playing out?
Yes, I always knew that I was destined to be an entertainer.
Okay.
Yeah, like that's one thing that I knew. Like, it was my escape from everything. Mm. You know, if I could be on stage, for me, you know, the fact that I got an opportunity to be on stage, you know, I got to study, you know, stage performance, is one thing that I really love. It was an escape from my reality.
Yeah.
And in that sense, I kind of grew. I wanted to be an all-rounded entertainer. And I think to be able to present and to do radio is an aspect part of entertainment, just something that I really, really am proud of, I think, you know, and I'm looking forward to great things.
In terms of that learning, that academic learning, you are in the arts.
Yep.
How's that going?
That's going great right now. Literally, I have an exam after the show. Yeah, that's a crazy part.
Good luck with that.
I literally have a singing exam tonight all the way in Pretoria. So when I finish, I have to catch a car train and then go back home and then do my final exam because I'm in my third year right now. I'm about to graduate. And then, yeah. And then,
what a time.
What a time. Like,
it's aligned, you know?
It's clicking it's together weird. One yeah. after the other.
I don't know, guys. I think this is crazy. Like, literally, at the beginning of this, somebody was saying to me, Raymond, you're going to be famous before this year ends. Because they saw me on SABC 1 getting interviewed on Shift. And, you know, and they were like, yo, man, you're going to be a big deal. I'm like, no, don't push it now.
Yeah.
And look at it now.
You already are a big deal.
Yeah.
Now everyone else is going to know about it.
It overwhelms me. I won't lie, guys. Like, it overwhelms when people say you're going to be a big deal, dude. Like, yo, you've got that thing in you, that fighting spirit. You're always, like, hustling. You're on your own hustle. And it scares me. Like, I think the only question that I'm asking myself right now is God to prepare me for what I'm about to become?
Yeah.
It's like when I know that I'm going to be this big person and I'm going to have some kind of influence in this world. But all I'm asking from God is God to prepare me for this that is about to happen to me.
Yeah.
You know, it's all I ask for, preparation to be ready for this moment. You know, I'm nervous. I don't even know how I feel about my first episode, which is, yeah, sometime.
Let's get into that. let's jump right into that. When does the show air?
The show will be airing next week, Saturday, on the 12th of November.
It'll be your very first episode.
Oh. Yeah, at 9 a.m. in the morning. Yeah,
9 a.m. in the morning.
National, that's, baby.
That is national.
Yeah.
On a Saturday morning, you know, after our debaucherous behavior from the night before.
Yeah.
All right, the name of the show is Talent on Track. Can you give us a couple of insider information?
You know, I can give you the overview of the show. I mean, the show, you know, it's commissioned by Oka Media. And it's a platform where, you know, they get to kind of give young people an opportunity for them to be exposed and expose their musical talents. You know, they touch on a lot of genres, you know, pop, jazz. I love that about it. And I think it's a platform for young people to be exposed in a sense that we're looking for more local talent.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of local content needs to be exposed. And I think this is a show that's going to give young people that platform. You know, so far we've covered like 7 bands. And then we still have more seven bands to go. So we've got to cover 14 bands and only 4 get to make it to the finale.
Okay.
There's like a phase 2 where there's like 7 bands that are going to go through a procedure where they get mentored by like big time producers and stuff like that to kind of, you know, harness their sound.
Yeah.
And kind of refine it for the finale. And then from there we decide on the top 4 and then boom, that's going to be performed at like Yamaha. It's going to be like a cool concept. It's quite dope. So far so great. There's different sounds that I've kind of bumped into. Yeah, man, some talented kids in South Africa. I'm glad that we've got a show like this.
All right, but you know, there's a lot of talent search kind of shows
everywhere.
You know, how, besides you being the host, because I feel like you are going to bring a different feel to it, yeah. Right? So other than you being the host, why should someone else watch it?
I think, you know, people should watch the show because, I mean, it's that show that, you know, it has a different feel. The way it's directed, you'll notice once you watch the first episode. You know, there are moments where, you know, there's engagement with the audience members type of thing, where you get family to comment about the children's music.
Okay.
And, you know, where you get to find out how they went about to actually produce the sound, which is one thing that for me, it sticks out. You know, you get to see young people that play jazz. And I'm like, jazz?
Yeah.
Like, young people, 16-year-olds, you know, out here playing jazz. It is very, it's a different show, and it has that reality aspect to it.
Okay.
I think, you know, it has a more up close, hey, look at me, it's reality,
yeah,
type
yeah
of thing, which makes it different from the other ones.
It makes it basically, what you're saying is it brings in the viewer instead, yeah, of just
letting
you know,
say this is a competition type, yeah, of thing, you know,
contestant number one.
I know, you know, nah, nothing. Okay. Like, so every episode is a brand new band,
yeah,
so you know, it kind of brings in that feel. We see their family members, we interview their family members, their friends about, you know, their music, we get to see them perform. And one special thing is that we bring in a mentor, which we call at the show, we call the talent.
Okay.
And so far we've had like Reason come over, you know, to kind of mentor a few kids. We had Mpumi. We had quite a bunch of people that have really well established in the industry and have come of imparted some knowledge on the kids, which is something that I really love, part of the show.
Right. On the kids, people. On,
yeah,
the kids, all right.
Give back to the children. Mm-hmm. You know, man.
They are the future.
They are the future.
What I'm thinking now, while you're sitting there talking and you're giving us this perspective of talent on track, Proverb isn't going to work forever, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
And yet, wow, we've been asking who could possibly replace him.
My thing is, no one's going to replace Proverb for a while.
Yeah, those are big shoes to fill.
No, well, from a presenter's point of view, yes,
yes,
it's big shoes to fill, but the man produces the show as well.
Yeah, so yeah. It's like, ching. Kind of hard to get rid of him.
Yeah, you're like, I don't know. We get rid of presenter or producer.
You know,
do
it's
we keep
over.
Producer,
do we keep the show?
Presenter, you know. I understand what you mean.
You're talking about interviewing family members and getting very intimate. I can tell there's going to be tears on the show. There's going to be crying.
Yeah, there's some sad moments. I think,
oh my God, I've been waiting all my life.
Yeah, because I mean, we look at their personal stories. I mean, yeah, we look at what drives their music, what really inspires them to want to create music. You know, some of them are actually, they have a personal attachment to the stories, which is something that, mm-hmm, I think, you know, is quite relevant. And it allows me to also bond with the kids. Because I mean, if you were the whole day there with the kids and we're shooting in stop, cut, take, because it's a pre-recorded show.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I get to bond with the kids, get to find out about their stories and their lives off camera, you know, type of thing. So it has changed my life in that perspective, because I get to see different kinds of kids. Whether you're from like Senten and you are like from Mamelodi, you know, it's what's so interesting about the show.
The fact that it's generating local content is amazing. Listen, people, we don't need more shows like Ridiculousness. We don't need a Ridiculousness essay.
Africa, yeah,
we don't need one of those shows. But this is new. This is unheard. This is discovery, which is absolutely fantastic.
I'm actually happy that they decided to go with a fresh face as well on,
yes,
TV.
I asked myself, actually. I was like, I mean, why didn't they just go for some of the kids that are like already in SABC 3 or like kids that are on SABC? But then I thought to myself, wow, I'm glad that they actually went for a fresh face.
Yeah, I mean, no offense to anyone in the industry, you know what I mean? But
true,
I mean, it becomes a little bit difficult to stomach the same person on the radio, on the TV. Like, I mean, didn't I hear you enough this week type thing? And I'm not trying to drag people, yeah, down or anything, yeah, but I'm glad that they chose a fresh face.
Yeah,
man.
But they're trying to eat in the industry, you know. The more jobs, yeah, you have, the more money you're gonna make.
Yeah,
straight
man
up.
You,
yeah,
know?
Man.
Aside from the being a fresh face on TV, you started a whole new Twitter account, which I wouldn't have done. I wouldn't have done that because you were mad popular. I mean, you had the crazy numbers.
Oh my goodness. Why did you have to go?
Why did you start a whole new Twitter? Why did you start a new one? Why did you get rid of the old Twitter?
Where do you get this information? I don't know. Who told you this?
On Twitter. Hello.
Research.
Oh my gosh.
Jeez,
whatever,
and
guys.
Wait, do you think we just come here and sit down and
you
just
know
start talking?
Mundi,
oh,
capture.
Goodness. Wow. Hey, listen, I started a new Twitter account. Well, yeah, I started my whole social media platform because my previous one, I didn't feel
it was ratchet.
Yeah, it was ratchet. I'm gonna be honest, it was ratchet. You know,
but it was you.
It was me. It was really me, because I'm one opinionated person, and I believe that, you know,
yep,
you know, I should share my thoughts with the world, and you know, find people that will relate to what I say. you know, but I felt like I was part of a particular subgroup on Twitter.
Okay.
Subgroup.
You know, subgroup on Twitter. So it kind of led to a lot of things. I mean, a lot of people were starting to hate me. There was even an infamous account created on that subgroup's behalf. And people were saying, get this guy off because he's questioning too many things. And, you know, and yeah, I felt like, no. Going into this new adventure where I'm going to be inspiring young people, I don't feel like I need to take this aspect with me.
Yeah.
Although it will still be part of me. You know, if you ask me and you're in discussion with me, we'll definitely kind of get into a discussion and you'll find out how I feel about certain things. But I felt like sometimes when you are, at the same time, my fear is that I don't want to be a fake celebrity. Mm-hmm. I want people to know me for who I am. I want people to be able to relate to the things that I say because that's how I personally feel. At the same time, I don't want to be too personal so that, you know, it pushes people away, but I want people to be able to relate to what I say.
All right, let's get into that. Who is Mondi? Where does this guy come from? Like, okay, I mean, for those people that live in and around Pretoria, they might have heard you on the radio.
Yeah.
They might have some idea of who you are, those people on Twitter, that subgroup. You know what I'm saying? But you are going national now, okay? Yeah. So who is Mondi?
Yo, that's a very deep question. But I think, you know, Mondi is this young, talented young person, man. I'm ambitious. I think I'm one person who... I grew up without not having much.
Okay.
And I think all my life I've strived to actually be great. People always say that, Raymond, you always never feel to have the feeling to stop. I'm that person who never feels like I need to stop.
Yeah.
I don't think, I was telling someone yesterday that I don't think I'll ever stop. That's my biggest fear. I don't feel like I'll ever feel accomplished as a person because I grew up without nothing. And I think my drive in life is that I have to continuously keep on going so that I can become something better than what I am now.
Yeah.
You know, that's my continuous fight. So I'm this ambitious young person, talkative, loud, crazy. I love people. Mm. I don't know why, but I love people and I seem to...
And people love you, yeah, trust, well, don't worry.
Yeah, I'd love that if they love me back. But like, I generally love people. I think I'm adaptable.
Yeah.
That's one thing I realized about myself. Whenever I'm in a particular environment, people are able to kind of talk to me and warm up to me easily. And it's something that I found to be the magic about me. And I think I wish that people get to discover that throughout my career.
That what you just said is magic, actually. Let me ask you this, though. I want to... get a little bit personal, if you don't mind.
No, please go ahead.
You know, your sexual orientation,
yes,
is at some point it's going to become a thing. Someone's going to ask you about it. Someone's going to want to talk about it.
Yeah.
And considering this is like your first big interview, I feel like I wish people Google in like 2 years from now, they should Google and be like, yo, that guy started there
she
first.
Was making plans, man.
No, but I mean...
Oh, my gosh.
Your thoughts on how homosexuality is...
I'm so happy you asked me that question.
Yeah, man.
I'm very happy you asked me that question. Only because, I'll tell you this, I was afraid that I wouldn't get jobs because of my sexuality.
Okay.
I'll tell you that. You know, I was afraid of the fact that, you know, there's still this notion, this belief that goes behind homosexuality. And people tend to put us into boxes, which is something that I generally don't agree with.
Okay.
And hence I openly speak about my sexuality. And, it, you know, hence I have my own organization that gives back to young people. And I feel like it needs to be a conversation that's generated between people. You know, I did fear for it in terms of my career. I won't even lie to you. Like, I sit down sometimes and I'm like, what if I won't get my next job because I'm gay?
Yeah.
You know, people are okay with the Sumizis and the whoevers because, I mean, they're well established and they've worked hard to be where they are. But people have to remember that he started somewhere.
Yeah.
There was a point in his life where he wasn't, you know, all about...
He wasn't openly gay.
You know, he wasn't all about that. But, I mean, we're living in a time where it's acceptable. And yet again, there's still people who still have these notions. There's still corporates that still are like, nah, we're not ready to kind of give you this endorsement deal because, I mean, you know, you are that type of person, which is my biggest fear. But I think... going forward, I'll allow my talent to be the force of my career, you know, to be the one that drives me and speaks for me. So when people look at me, to be like, wow, that kid is great.
Yeah.
Hence, I always say, I never say me being gay describes me or defines me. Does not. It's just an aspect of who I am.
For sure.
You understand? Because there's many levels to Mondi. There's so many layers to him. He's, you know, he can sing, he can act, he can dance, he can do so many things. Just, you know, talk to him, conversate with him, get to know him, than just seeing this thing, just seeing this homosexual
person. See a person first.
Yeah.
See the person first before you try to find out what they do in their own spare time and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
I we were talking about this before we stepped into the studio, and I actually mentioned the fact that I don't even think we should be discussing your sexuality at all. But I mean, considering the fact that you've got a foundation and it's something that you are passionate about, there was no way I could, you know,
not even,
skip over that.
True.
Your foundation, let's get into that.
Well, you mean Rainbow Kids. Rainbow Kids is an organization that I started when I was 16. After I was bullied, I used to go to a different school. I used to be, well, I'm a small town boy.
Okay.
In my small town days, I used to go to this high school where I was bullied, like, you know, gruesomely. I was beat up and, you know, pushed around, and I was suicidal at some point in my life. And I kind of, from that, I said to myself, you know, my parents, I said, listen, I need to move schools. So I moved schools, and why what better way to move to Joburg? And I was like, yeah, man, I moved all the way to Joburg. I found a school where I kind of fitted in. There were other gay people like myself, you know, other lesbian people, and we could relate in discussion, which is something that I really found very, very, very positive in my life. And I said to myself, why not start an organization that'll be able to give back to young people like myself, who are stuck in small towns and they don't have like a place to run to, they don't have somebody to talk to about, you know, who they are and what it's about. And I think over the years I've kind of done research based on my sexuality. Like, I'm one person, if you ever sit down with me, you'll find out that, yo, this guy's so well informed. Like, from the sexual part about it to the more emotional part about it, I'm well adverse, because that I feel like I need to be informed about who I am.
Yeah.
You know, so that I can be able to understand myself more. You know, where it comes from, the different books that people write about, you know, homosexuality. So yeah, Rainbow Kids is an organization that, you know, I started when I was 16. I dedicated to young people. You know, and I just feel like, you know, we still need to talk about these things. You know, there's so many issues that go beyond just the visceral, you know, just what people see. I just think, let's dig deeper, man. I hope that I'll be given a platform within this industry to be able to be overt about my sexuality. I really, that's one thing that I hope for.
Were you at Pride this past weekend?
Unfortunately, I couldn't be there because I was shooting.
I mean, hey. He's going to be getting an award one day. Oh, I'm sorry, guys, I couldn't be there.
I'm serious. If you had to give any other excuse besides I was shooting, I would think you'd need to be shot.
No. Wow. That's a punchline. Oh, man, guys.
You are a great speaker. I don't have the words now. But in terms of, you speak on body shaming, you speak on, you know, sexuality and all of these things.
I'm glad you put activist on that thing, because I was just like, oh, I see you putting activist on that.
I recognize the work. I mean, you're doing more work than most people, so
I don't,
that's,
I'm like,
damn good.
Yeah, guys, I don't think I'll ever dab myself. But anyway, yeah.
In terms of body shaming, you were talking about you were bullied and
I mean, you know, there were parts in my life where, I mean, oh my goodness.
Have you been body shamed?
Yeah, I was body shamed big time. Because there's this whole notion that when you're a homosexual person, you have to be very thin. There was this notion back in the days, and it was really systematically pushed, that you have to be thin and you have to fit into all the feminine clothes, and it has to be. And that's not how it's supposed to be, and that's not what it's about. You know, when I was in high school, there were other homosexual people around me who were skinnier than me, and they kind of, and I was younger, so they used to be like, yeah, you fat, and you're like, whatever, and you were. And I was body shamed, you know. And I kind of led to me where I was, you know, bulimic at some point. I was anorexic. I went through a lot of stuff. jeez, man. Wow. Why? I hate, you know, I wish I was never a teenager, but at the same time, it's aight. Yeah. So, you know, I was body shamed at some point, and I think I'm one person who speaks about it a lot. I think, I think people should talk about it. Not all of us can't look the same. I actually tweeted this yesterday. I said, we can't all look the same.
It would be so boring if we did.
It would be so boring. Like, so boring, man, we can't all look the same, you know. But yet again, I'm not promoting unhealthiness. Yes, you can be healthy. Let's all work out and keep health. You know, I'm one person who believes that now because of what happened to me. You know, I believe in working out. I believe in eating healthy. I believe in all of those things. And it's something that I push. But at the same time, don't push to look like somebody else. We can't all be a catalog man or a catalog woman. You know? We can't fit into the box.
It's about self-acceptance, you know? Like, I mean, there's certain things that you just cannot change.
That is true.
And if there are things that you can change that you actually want to change, then you should go ahead and change
that. Go ahead. That's why, you know, I'll never judge people for, you know, bleaching their skin, even though there are people out there who be like, no, judge those people, let them die. But I mean, it's their choice. If they feel like I'm not pretty enough being dark, then go ahead if it's what you want. But at the same time, don't come back and regret and tell everybody, no, I was depressed then. I don't know what was going on. Some demon that possessed me. No. Come on.
Yeah.
I have a very stupid thought that I won't share. I want to guys, it's savage, actually.
I actually need you to share it.
No, please share it. Now I'm very intrigued.
I mean, I think it's going to bring a pause to this conversation.
Yeah.
If you don't share what you want to share, please share it.
Fuck. Wow. You were talking.
By the way, now before you say anything, I'm not used to a radio station where we say words like fuck.
I'm just like, wow, we can swear here.
Can you swear?
Welcome to it.
Wow.
Apologies.
You have finally joined the loony bin.
Yeah, no, yeah. This is actually, yeah. I've been waiting for this all my life.
Apologies to Mondi's audience that are going to hear.
Yeah, oh, sorry to all the kids listening. Yo.
I'd like your thought on this. I came across this the other day. Mm-hmm. Someone tweeted, radio for me has always been a respected medium. It's very difficult to break into radio as opposed to TV.
Whew. Wow. And they all sit back. I wish people could see you. I wish you were like, answer now.
The thing is, though, I think everyone in this room at this point in time can somehow relate to trying to move through the different mediums.
You
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we've all three of us have somehow, some way, in our own little unique way, dabbled in something outside of just radio.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, for me, for instance, I'm still recording music. There was a short film that we did a couple of years, made it onto Mzansi Magic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that question is very relevant.
Yeah, that question is very relevant. I think considering the fact that right now there's this whole open up the industry thing with a lot of people dabbling in between the different mediums, you know, it puts a question mark on someone's mind. You know, it really does. I mean, it does in mine as well. For me, I could say the only question that I have in terms of this is that, if I now I'm on TV, what's my next move if I've done radio before?
Okay.
Yes, my next move would be to do radio, to continue in the same medium. I think it is very difficult to get into radio than television. Reason being that, yes, radio is tough. It doesn't stop. Mm. It's not like when you're on a TV show, it plays once a week and then, you know, it runs for a certain time period. But radio is forever. It's like a while. It's a whole year.
Yeah.
You know, it's many years. And for me, or that, people never feel the comfort to leave or the comfort to move on. They get so comfortable to be like, yo, man, I'm chinchilly. I've been doing this thing for like 20 years, you know. And, you know, which makes it very difficult for one to break into. Because we have a lot of people out here who've been doing radio for like 20 years and aren't willing to be like, it's time for me to move on.
Yeah.
Whereas TV forces you to move on. After you do one show, it runs for a specific time period, you move on. Mm. You know? So, it's more difficult to get into radio than television. I would say that.
I actually wouldn't have thought about it that way. You just... I wouldn't have framed it that way. No, but you make a very, very valid point. I mean, should we be looking at people that have been in the game for years? Should we be, you know, commanding or at least expecting them to be making space for new people?
No, we should be expecting them to open up opportunities for new people in the sense that they open new mediums like Cliff Central to hire other kids to be able to be displayed.
Okay.
You understand? In that sense, we need more people to open up the industry. There are not enough platforms for people to be onto. We have the basic ones. We have like, you know, you have like SABC, ETV, you know, the standard, you know, GSTV. You know, we need more platforms for young people to be exposed onto, for people in general who are talented and who need an opportunity to be exposed.
Yeah.
So we need more people to open up businesses. I'm one person who's an avid speaker in terms of opening up businesses within this entertainment industry, which is one thing that I hope to achieve within my career. I want to get to that point where I'm like, okay, I've done it all. Now it's time for me to open up for other kids to be able to get opportunities to be on a platform. You understand? If I get an opportunity to be one day to open up my own Cliff Central, hey man, a mantra to that, hire young people to be able to do great things, which is something that I think is a great ideal. So let's do that rather than just moving to the next radio station. No. Open your own. Open up for kids to be able to be, you know, displayed and to express their talent, which is something that I think, yo, man.
You know, listening to you talk, there's a lot of altruism about you. Like, you are about people all the time. Like, you, everything almost every question that we've asked you, you've answered with about the kids, about the kids, about the kids. You know,
yeah.
Was that something you always wanted to do? Has it always been a purpose call to you to help out where you can?
Yeah. Funny enough, with this show, Talent on Trike, it actually made me realize that about myself.
Okay.
I think, you know, I've always wanted to kind of touch people's lives.
Yeah.
And I think with this show, Talent on Trike, I'm kind of realizing that, because wherever I go with the, and I meet these different kids, they text me even after we shoot. They're like, yo, man, I love what you said to me there. You really, because after the shoot, I'll tell them, yo, you guys should never give up. Yeah. Whether you win within this competition or you don't or whatever. Just ensure that if this is what you really want to do, keep at it.
Yeah.
You know, which is, for me, I believe that within this industry, you should be able to inspire and not just to exist, to be a celebrity, a pretty face. You know, it's a different thing when you're just a pretty face and you don't hope to kind of, or you don't aspire to kind of motivate other people, which is something that I kind of, I'm starting to develop a lot, you know, in terms of my career, especially with this new show. I'm realizing a lot of things about myself as an entertainer.
All right. So here we are. We're talking Talent on Track. It airs for the very first time next week, Saturday.
Woo!
Yeah. 9 in the morning.
Yeah.
On SABC3.
Set alarm clocks.
You know, it's what I'm going to ask you is going to be very difficult to answer.
No.
I mean, because considering the show airs for the first time next week. Have you thought beyond Talent on Track?
Yeah, that was my first thought. You can even ask Van Given out here. Like, the first thing I told him when he was like, congratulations, I was like, no, I'm thinking about my next job.
Yeah.
Like right now, especially considering the fact that I'm about to graduate, I'm like, I'm thinking about my next job. And for me, the only thing that I'm thinking, I said to myself recently, actually yesterday before I came here, well, a few hours before I came here, I kind of thought to myself, I know that my next move is going to be bigger than this one.
Yeah.
That's a kind of, I don't know, perception that I have. I feel it. You just know these things. I feel like my next move will be bigger than this one. So I'm working towards that notion. That's what I want to carry out throughout these next days within the show.
Yeah.
You know, focusing on my next move in a sense that I know it's going to be bigger than this one.
That is deep, man.
Yeah.
Like you were stating facts. That didn't sound like a thought.
I hope.
No. It was like, okay, straight after.
Yeah. This was going to happen.
This is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Do you have any ideas as to the type of shows you want to put together? Is Talent on Track what basically the type of format you wanted to do, or is there other ideas that you have in your head for?
Great question. Yeah, I love your questions though. Yeah, I love your questions. My goodness,
we're in love with you.
Yeah, they're the right ones.
Just by the way, you make this so easy.
Oh my goodness,
you make this unbelievably easy. Like, we've had people who come into the studio, you're like, so what were the challenges? It was rough. You're like, okay, thanks for that.
Oh my goodness. Oh my gosh, now the question just slipped out of my head.
Ideas.
Oh yes, ideas. Thank you so much. Ideas, in a sense that, my dream is to have my own talk show, guys.
Right?
I want to have the Mond show playing on TV for an hour. I think that would be a spectacle of note.
Okay.
I think, you know, that would be it's my belief that I think it would be the best thing that they would have on TV at that particular time.
At that point in time.
Because, I feel like I'm structuring it. I'm spending time literally right now working on it every day. And I feel like when the moment comes and there'll be a show called The Mon Show.
Yeah.
My goodness, it's going to be the hottest thing in this country.
Yeah,
wow.
Man.
Like I promise you, I think it's going to be the hottest thing in this country, because I watch a lot of different shows and I kind of structure the show idea on different aspects, in a sense that I'm building it and I'm realizing what mistakes people are making.
For sure.
And what they could be doing. But I want to implement on this new show. I hope somebody out there is listening and you're going to give me this opportunity, yo. You know? So that's kind of, I love music.
Yeah.
You know, I love music. I love the entertainment aspect of music, which is something that I think the show that I'm going to have, the Mon Show, one day, it'll have an aspect of that. And I'm glad that I'm in a show that's about music, which is kind of also kind of preparing me for this moment. You know, so the Mon Show is the big dream that I want to have. I really, really just want to dominate, you know, on radio and television. I also want to create my own shows. I think I'm not only just an entertainer, but I'm an entrepreneurial entertainer, which is what I call
myself.
I don't know. I don't just want to think of myself as an entertainer, but I want to think of myself as a franchise, as a business.
Yeah.
You know, so immediately when I get into this game, I just want to start planning and plotting. You know, you got to analyze things. Don't just, you know, rush things. I think one step at a time as well, and see how life takes, where life takes me.
Yeah.
So in that regard, I'll definitely, you know, just slay my own lane, yo.
I hear that.
Slay my own lane.
I feel like at this point in time, I should have like a channel of my own right now and just give you the show.
Yo, I'd be yo.
You know what I mean? From
also, that is not opening up the industry. Okay.
No,
It is. I'm
you
so fresh.
You know, I feel like at this point in time, the South African industry, holistically speaking, the entertainment industry, we have been taught to recycle and rehash and reuse things that worked in different places, as if we don't have great ideas of our own, you know? And it's always such a breath of fresh air to hear someone like yourself come through and just, you know, spill your guts out in such a it's such an inspirational thing. Like the way you speak, you command attention, you command belief. You get what I mean? Like, honestly speaking, I think you're fantastic, dude.
Thank you so much.
This before. I've been telling you this. No, I'm serious. I told this idiot sitting next to me, never been given. I told you this as well. I mean, you are basically going to start this is a phenomenal journey. And I think it's going to be so awesome watching
you.
From the comfort of our own homes, man.
You know, just to add on one thing, I just wanted to say, you know, when you talk about this whole, you know, having local content and having it proper and focusing on that, I think a lot of people need to have a look at what's happening with the Americans at the moment. You need to watch certain shows and watch as to how they actually seem to be recycling more than us.
Yeah.
So we need to seize the moment, because they seem to be repeating everything. The movies that we watch, I mean, Marvel, how many times Marvel are we going to keep on watching Marvel? You know, those type of things, we got to just consider those things. So people have a look at that. See a gap. It's about the loophole. You gotta see where the gap is.
Yeah.
And seize the moment.
For damn sure. Mondi, it was so dope hanging out with you, man. It was really, really awesome. Thank you so much for coming through.
Thank you guys.
It's a pleasure, man.
This is amazing. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to come invade your space.
No, thank you for invading our space. I wouldn't have had it any other way, man. Thank you so much for coming through. Make sure you catch the show, man. Next week, Saturday, it begins at 9 a.m. in the morning.
Talent on track. I figured out the riddle with the shirt saying 11. To the South African Broadcasting Corporation, you haven't found yourself a 10. You found yourself
an 11.
What?
Done.
Wow.
Sorted. Just like that. I don't think there's any other way to end the show. It's been awesome.
It's been amazing. Cliffcentral.com.